Next Chapter Podcasts.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, my name is Miriam Lauba, and I'm the senior producer of the Play On podcast series. I've had the good fortune to work closely with writer, director, and actor Catherine Eaton, who adapted and directed Jeff Witte's translation of Shakespeare's classic play, A Midsummer Night's Dream. Catherine's many accomplishments include performing on Broadway and in theaters across the country. Her feature film, The Sounding, which she wrote, directed, and starred in, has garnered numerous awards at over a dozen film festivals and earned her inclusion in Ryan Murphy's prestigious Half Foundation Fellowship. It is my honor and pleasure to introduce the extraordinarily talented Catherine Eaton. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you so much, Miriam. I could say the exact same thing about you, so thank you.
Oh, you're very kind. Catherine, I'm going to start off with kind of a question. It's kind of an odd question, but what is the first piece of art that you remember influencing you? This could be a play, music, film, TV. First piece of art as a young person.
That's a great question. Oh, Lord. Oh, it's very hard to say. I guess the first one that comes to mind, I'm sure it wasn't the first. Actually, I would say probably one of the very first was a children's book called, I think it's called Corduroy the Bear. I think this is still being read by people, but for whatever reason, the drawings in that book were so beautiful to me on a level that went beyond the story. I didn't even care so much about the story whenever it was read to me. And I must have been, I want to say, 3 or 4. I just remember being obsessed with the colors that were in. It was a very warm palette and had a lot of kind of reds and browns and golds in it. And the way that the artist rendered the button, because I think he loses his button on his overalls, I think. This is literally the first thing I can think of now.
I love it. But it was actually, it was a visual connection in some ways to the art and the way that the art, the palette, the color palette made you feel, yes?
Yeah, which is really funny, both in this conversation, which of course is about a podcast, which has no apparent visual, but although it works a lot with visual imagery in our minds and our imaginations, but also because in my career, it actually took me a very long time to kind of return to being the person that was making decisions about the visual, because I came up first as an actor and predominantly stage, and then eventually started working in TV and film, but was not directing, wasn't writing. And then eventually came around to writing, where I started to imagine what the pictures on stage or on film might be. And then directing happened, where I remembered how deeply in love with the visual world I am and have always been. I mean, I've been obsessed with art and photography all through that time. I just never made it a part of my own work. So it's funny then to come full circle and to be working on Midsummer.
Yes, and creating worlds. Well, this is something that I think you're extraordinarily extraordinarily good at, creating worlds. But before we get to that, can I ask you about what the first Shakespeare you ever saw was, and what drew you to Shakespeare? Because you've done, you've worked on, Shakespeare's been part of your art journey for sure.
Yeah, it's a huge part of it. I was in a Shakespeare play before I ever saw one.
Oh.
So we did, yeah. So my introduction to Shakespeare was actually performing. And I think that was a real gift for me because I have a really kind of kinesthetic relationship to material. So being able to actually physically embody it, I think made the language mean so much more to me. We were reading them in school early, maybe sixth grade, I think was the first time we were introduced to some piece of Shakespeare in school, just as a part of really standard curriculum, but with some exceptional teachers in a very normal public school. And then in seventh grade, we put on the seventh grade class, I believe it was seventh or eighth grade, put on Taming of the Shrew. And I was cast as Bianca.
Oh.
And I fell in love with it. And my one of my very best friends, Sarah, was cast as Kate, as the shrew. And it was just, and I really was Bianca at that time in my life. I really was a sort of, I mean, her, I'd like to say her good qualities,
yes.
But I was kind of an innocent and very, you know, sort of, so I loved, I just loved it. And I fell in love with that when you said the language, it did something to you, to how you felt inside. And
physically,
it did things
yes.
to other people as well. And that was my first, that's when I really began this sort of long, long, long relationship with Shakespeare that then, you know, became much more complex. But it really started from just saying his words and feeling that they did things, you know, that the language itself did things. So,
Catherine, I always say that as well, that you can taste it, right? Like you can taste it. And
that's wonderful.
Feel it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's really
that's a wonderful way to say it. Yeah. I love that.
It's and you felt that in seventh grade. Did you then? What are some of the other plays that you have worked on, either as an actor or as a director?
So I've worked on most of the canon at this point. Largely, yeah, I would say most of almost every play, and if we include my feature film.
Yes.
Which for people who are listening that may not know this, the film is about a woman who is silent most of her life, and then she takes on an acquired language woven out of Shakespeare's words. She's a contemporary woman. She's raised on an island off the coast of Maine, and she has a reason for this, and it's a gift to someone she loves. Mm-hmm. But that language then becomes her only way of communicating. And in The Sounding, in that movie, we actually made sure to use every single one of the plays.
Wow.
Was touched on in usually multiple times, and quite a lot of the sonnets as well. It was just kind of a personal, you know, for everybody who's a real Shakespeare fan, and you know, newer Shakespeare fans, it would be a little bit different, but for people who've had a lot of exposure to all of his work, it's a fun, people will watch the film and they go, oh, that's from that. Oh, that's from that. Oh, that's
yes.
from that. And sort of check yes. off the, we like to say you can play Shakespeare bingo when you're listening to
yes,
it.
Yes, yes. That would actually be very fun. It's like, yeah.
But as an actor, I've done, you know, I was very lucky because when I learned that you could just study acting and that there were places to go do that, which was not something that was a part of my family background, and I went and got my Master of Fine Arts. I then ended up going into the Guthrie Company and did a lot of work there. I did a lot of work while I was getting my MFA. So I've had the blessing of playing a lot of different roles, Mistress Page, and you know, just all
yes.
we can go down the list.
This is Michael Goodfriend, executive producer of the Play On podcast series. I hope you're enjoying this conversation with the creatives behind the scenes. To listen to the full interview, join the Play On supporting cast for just $5 a month, which by the time you hear this might be less than you'll pay for a gallon of gas. You'll get in-depth interviews featuring some of the most brilliant artists working today. You'll also enjoy ad-free episodes of the Play On podcast series. Subscribe today for $5 a month. Join the cast. Go to ncpodcast.com and sign up today. Thanks for listening.
Next Chapter Podcasts.